every single day I feel
the Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. I got another great guest for you today. Kim Daly's in the building. She's a friend and client of ours, and she's doing amazing things in the franchise space. I can't wait to share her journey with you and what she's working on now. And for those of you that have heard of franchising before, don't know what it is, we'll get into that. And also we'll get into, if it's something that you're interested in, how you can, you know, learn from Kim and go deeper with her. For more than 20 years, she has been helping people realize their dreams of business ownership through franchising, all the while living her own dreams through her franchise. Today, she's recognized as one of America's top franchise consultants, having created nearly 1,000 franchise owners. Woo. I talk about doing 1,000 podcasts all the time, but you've done 1,000 franchise owners. It's amazing. And, she, you know, because I, by the way, 1,000 is a big number, and I know what it took to do what I did, so I can imagine. So, Kim, you're amazing. You're also an international best-selling co-author, Franchising Freedom, and the founder and the host of KimDaly.tv and Create Wealth Through Franchising podcast. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mikey. It's great to be here.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time coming. I don't know why we didn't get you on here sooner, but I guess the calendars, the way they are, I guess, and what have you. But
all things in good time.
but I understand you've had some practice prior to coming on this show now. So at least you've had some reps. You put some reps in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been on about 250 shows.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what you got to do to come before you come on this show. You have to do at least 200. No, I'm just kidding.
You only interview the experts.
Yeah, they got to have the reps in, man. So, Kim, I want to ask you the famous question that's written on the wall behind me. And first of all, before I do that, I want to thank you for trusting in us to work with you and get your message out more. And I love the people that we get to work with, and it means the world to me that you trust us. So, thank you for being a client of That One Agency.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's get into this, this show. This show is all about the ingredients, right? That's gone into making us who we are. Kim, what are you made of?
Passion.
What's passion mean to you? Can you describe or define passion?
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard word to define, but it means like since the day that I was born, I was ready. I'm always ready. Like, I want to make miracles happen everywhere I go in my life. I, you know, grew up in the Miss America pageant organization, small girl from a small town. I'm going to be Miss America. I wasn't, but I was Miss New Hampshire, preteen, teen, Miss New Hampshire. Like, I went on. I've done everything I touch. I just master it, and including becoming a franchise consultant, making history in my industry, creating nearly 1,000 small business owners here in the United States of America, and now flipping over to business coaching to go back and help all of these people know what I know, live better lives, make more money, have more passion, have more fun, because that's what they ultimately thought they were saying yes to when they signed their franchise agreement.
Yeah. You know, so many business owners, it's like they're miserable.
So many.
It doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't. It's a mindset.
I remind my team a lot of times, like, let's have some fun, guys. Let's have some fun, you know?
Yesterday I had like the worst day, and I kept thinking it's a full moon. I'm not a witch, but I was blaming it on the full moon. But so then today I woke up, I was still sort of, you know, carrying that negativity from yesterday. When I woke up, I was good. And then I thought about coming to my office, and I'm like, oh. And then I said to myself, Kim, come on, make a choice, make a better choice. Put on a good attitude, go up to work. I'm going to have fun today. So I just sat with myself for a few minutes this morning, got my thoughts around why I really love doing what I do, came to work, and I've been rocking it all day. I've had a great day.
I think the human experience is going through a spectrum of emotions. Like, what kind of life would it be if we were all one thing? Actually, if we were always happy, I don't know that we would really understand what happiness was.
No, for sure. It's the law of polarity, right? You have day and you have night. You have hot and you have cold. You have to have sad in order to have happy. You can't have context unless you understand what the opposite is. And oftentimes what I've learned in this personal development journey is when you are right before the greatest breakthrough, you will go through the greatest challenge. And it's in that moment that you find out what you're made of. And that is where I believe most people quit. And if they only knew, that was just a sign that the open door is right there. Keep going.
But I always I understand that principle, but what about the fact that maybe you got to that point, that most challenging point, because you're on the wrong path? How do you differentiate that between keep going and you're on the wrong path? Because I don't believe quitting, the word quit has a negative connotation, but it's not a bad word. It's what you quit that matters. So how do you differentiate between the two?
Well, I think inside of you is, if you're self-aware, like I always know when I'm on the wrong path, which is why I had such a bad day yesterday, because I'm building a new company. It's not a franchise. So I am back in my entrepreneurial shoes and I'm making it up as I go. And I'm reaching out to people and I'm talking to people. And I said yes to things earlier this year that I'm still trying to vet out. Is that the right thing for me? Are these the right people for me? And I'm been talked into things that I knew I was being talked into. And who am I mad at? Oh, myself, because I didn't trust my intuition was telling me don't. And I did. And now I'm trying to unravel it. And so yesterday I was having those very hard conversations like, look, it's not you, it's me. You know, like, I'm just not sure this is working out. So, and it's hard because I'm letting them down. So it's hard. It's hard. But I knew all along, deep inside of me, it was the wrong path. And sometimes when you're an entrepreneur, you have to try things also. To your point, to know that it's the wrong path. You can't be afraid to try. You can't wait till you feel everything is perfect. You'll never do anything, right? You have to fail forward in the process. So part of this yesterday was failing forward. They got me to this moment to teach me that they're not going to be part of the future that helps me get to the next place.
Yeah, I love that. 100%. And you got to be afraid, not afraid to change your mind. You got to give yourself permission to change your mind.
Oh my God.
Like changing your mind is not a bad thing if it's all you're on the wrong thing. So
exactly.
A lot of us don't give ourselves permission. We think we need a license from someone else. We're afraid to confront issues. And then that weighs on us.
Yeah.
And it keeps our creativity down, our productivity down. We got to confront. Like that's something that I've, you know, been dealing with lately is there's all kinds of reasons, right? Like that you don't confront things, you brush them back or whatever. It might be people. It might be something you need to do, whatever. And then it starts to build up.
Yeah. I had a team member early on with me. And like when I would change my mind, he would like use it against me. And he was sort of negative. Like, you just keep changing your mind. And I'm like, you don't like, first of all, if you're going to be around me, you can't be negative. Like, I can take criticism and I can take coaching, but you got to say it in a positive way because this is like, you know, new soil. We are working new land here and I don't know how it's going to go. So to your point, Mike, like you've got to give me the grace to try stuff and not judge me if it's not the right thing in the end, right? Because I'm going to pivot quickly. I'm going to make decisions, but I am a doer. I'm not a talker. I do not want plans that are like cement. I just want to know a little bit and I'm going to take action and let it work out. And most of the time, Mike, it's, you know, I've been a business owner for 26 years. It's the right action. It's the right course, you know, and I'm moving in the right direction. But the details of it have to be able to be flexible. And your mindset has to. Like I have videos about, you know, the best business owners. Do you ever play ball sports? I'm like moving.
Ball sports?
Yeah, like ball sports. When you play like, if you were going to catch a ball, like on the baseball.
Oh, like soccer, football or baseball. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought there was a new sport called ball sports. I was like, let me check this out.
if you were playing baseball, right? And you try to catch a ball and you're totally flat footed, it's really hard. But if you're nimble, you know, you're on the balls of your feet, you're moving, it's always easier to catch the ball. And I think a business owner's mindset has to be like that. You have to be up on the balls of your feet, ready to pivot and adapt. When you're flat footed, that fixed mindset, that's when things like 2020 take you out.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So let's go back. I want to talk about franchise in a second, but before I do that, I want to know your story. You mentioned some of the things that you did with the Miss New Hampshire and the pageant world and all that, but like, what was it like growing up as a kid? I guess you grew up in New Hampshire, I'm assuming.
I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So growing up in New Hampshire, what was family life like? Like what was it like in your younger years?
Happy, you know, I'm a middle child. So, and then when my mother was 40, I was 15, she had another baby. So there's four of us now total. She had another, I have a baby sister who's more like I'm like mother to than, you know, sister to, since there's such a big age gap. But I was a middle child initially for the original three. And so I totally have a middle child personality, right? Like I always say, like my parents were like, you were always, you know, an overachiever. I'm like, no, I had to overachieve to get your attention. Right? Total middle child syndrome, but it's a very real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so how did you get into the pageant world? Was it you were looking for attention because you're a middle child? Is that what it was? Or what was
hilarious.
It?
Hilarious. Like I grew up on the stage. Like I always wanted to perform. So I was in theater before that. And then I was in any kind of like talent show, essay contest. So if you really look at what a pageant is, Miss Teen USA, not the Trump show, like the Miss America organization and all of the smaller pageants that kind of feed into Miss America. It's a playground for personal development for young women. It's an opportunity to be on a stage, to build your interview skills, to expand your talent, you know, singing or dancing or whatever that is. It's an opportunity to meet people from all over the state and to improve yourself, to put yourself out there and to be judged. And I literally found back when we had a TV guide, there was an ad in there for Miss New Hampshire National Preteen. And I filled it out and sent it in and was offered the opportunity to compete. And that's when I told my mom, oh, by the way, I mailed in this thing and I've been accepted to participate in the pageant. Can we do it? You know, so, and I won the first pageant I entered. And so then from there, I just kept entering every contest and pageant I could get into.
Now, so your mom wasn't a pageant mom, like pushing the issue. She was, you kind of drug her along versus the other way around.
It's hilarious because I was representing Miss New Hampshire at the national pageant in Hawaii in 1988. I was 16 years old. So they send us for 2 weeks out to Hawaii. And of course you're 16. So your parents have to come. My parents had a 2 week vacation and all the other mothers were like, you know, seeing my parents off at Pearl Harbor and doing all this. And I was always like, leave me alone. I will do my own hair. I do not need you. I am the most independent person. And when I'm nervous, I really didn't want anybody around me. My mother would be like, thank God she doesn't want us. So my mother was never a pageant mom. And I was named first runner up to the national title, Miss New Hampshire National Preteen. And it was like a thing because my parents were so uninvolved because I wanted them not to be involved. It was like a little bit of a thing for a while. We had to like a PR thing.
And so were you like seeing the other people being like catty and a lot of the parents too involved? And did you witness a lot of that or no?
I mean, there's some of that, you know, in pageants, you always come across, especially at the national level, you always come across, you know, your, you know, big pageant states where it's super competitive and intense, but the whole idea is to show up as yourself, you know, like little girl from New Hampshire. I put New Hampshire on the map when I was 16 years old by becoming first runner up to the national title. And all those judges after it was over came up to me and my parents and were like, we wanted your daughter to win. The woman who won, her father was the governor of the state. And so, you know, at 16 years old, you realize, wow, you realize what politics means, you know, and how life isn't always fair. But it was still satisfying to know that I was first runner up. I mean, I remember when they called me for the top 10, like New Hampshire doesn't ever make the top 10. I remember where I was on the stage. I remember the moment they said my name. Like, I remember how it felt. Like, that's a moment that nobody can ever take away from me, right? Like, you just don't expect it. You just do the best. And in that national interview, one of the judges asked me my thoughts about the Vietnam War. Like, these are the things that like you remember for the rest of your life. Well, I was 16 years old. I didn't know anything about the Vietnam War. And so I didn't try to pretend like I knew anything. I just said, I'm sorry, we haven't studied that in school and I don't know how to answer that question. That judge came up to me at the ball after and he said, the reason I gave you like the top score on the interview was because you weren't afraid to be yourself. You didn't try to make up a BS answer. You were just yourself. You were a 16-year-old kid who admitted, I didn't know anything about the Vietnam War. So even when you're young and you do like, you know, I was rewarded for being myself, if you will. And it teaches you like life skill. Just be yourself. That's the best you can be. And that's who the world needs, is for you to show up as yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't go wrong that way. I mean, because you know what? Here's the thing, Kim. Authenticity allows you to see other people for who they truly are too. It's a powerful tool because if I'm myself, I can really see if people vibe with me or not. if they're down with me, if they're aligned with me. But I can't see people's true selves if I don't show them my true self, because they won't react to the right thing, who I truly am. So people don't think about this. They think about authenticity. It's all about you, but it's really so that you can witness and observe other people's authenticity, their true selves. Awesome. You know, so it's great. I love that. So shifting gears here, let's talk about franchising. How did you get into the franchise world? Where did that all start?
Yeah, franchising always finds people. People don't really wake up and go, oh yeah, I want to be a franchise owner. You know, it's more like you're at some point in your life. So I actually was on my way to medical school and I answered a classified ad in the newspaper. It was for a franchise consulting company, not the one I'm a part of now. But so back up to college, I went to Boston College and I raised money for the BC Alumni Fund as my on-campus job. Well, I learned in college, number one, that I was very competitive. If you dangled money in front of me, I was going for it. And number two, that if you answered the phone, you were giving me money. So I answered this classified ad because I knew that I, you know, could talk to people on the phone and make money. And so after a few days on the job, the president of the company, you know, said, hey, give me 1 year and I will make you a very high paid salesperson. And I was like, wow, you know, I'm kind of tired. I was summa cum laude 4.0, 16 years of school, on my way to medical school. My whole life was really about becoming a doctor because I wanted to help people. And my dad was like, no, you'll never go to school. And I'm like, oh, dad, 1 year. My dad's always right. And I'm not afraid to tell him that either. So anyway, it ended up being the greatest thing that ever happened. I was always meant to be on that path and not at medical school. I don't even believe in Western medical doctors anymore at this point in my life. I only see naturopathic doctors. So that would have been a whole nother thing. But that the whole thing is that when I found franchising, it's this whole industry of entrepreneurs. It's inspiring. People are living their dreams and other people are there to support them. So I got a taste of it. And then I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I did what everybody does when they think about owning a business. I left franchising because why do I need a franchise? I'm going to go start my own business. And I started a dot-com business. I did that for 5 years. I was successful, but in order to really be successful, you had to get, you know, the equity money. And that's a whole nother business, right? Chasing money is not what I wanted to do. I was in the health and fitness space. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people. I wanted to use my knowledge of, you know, personal training and sports nutrition. That's what I studied in college. And that's what I was going to do in the medical world. And so I said, I don't want to do that. And then what really happened, Mike, is I was living away from my family in South Florida and 9/11 happened. And it was just a wake up call. Like, what am I doing? I was turning 30. I wasn't near my family. I was worried if I met a guy in Florida, my kids would never grow up with you know, their grandparents the way I grew up, where our whole family's here. So right after 9/11, I started thinking that there's got to be something else I want to do. I turned back to franchising. I found FranChoice, the company I'm still a part of today, 22 years later. And February 14th, 2002, I went to training for consulting. And I think in 2003, I moved back to New Hampshire and I've been here ever since.
So, okay. So you're still in New Hampshire. You're back in New Hampshire now.
Yep. I've been here since 2003. I got married. I found a guy, I got married. I have two teenage boys. So yeah, and I'm back here near my parents and my brothers and sisters.
So, okay. So that's awesome. Cause the kids got to be around your family. That's what I have. In my home here, I'm living in a town that doesn't really do good for my business, but I do it for the family situation. So I understand that nowadays we can work from anywhere. So helps out. And I have to travel a little bit more. But so when you got into franchising, okay, you're a consultant. So can you explain to us, the audience as well, like franchising, okay, that's like a McDonald's, that's like a Chick-fil-A, that's the food franchising. Then there's other businesses that are franchises. Franchises, isn't it really like somebody creates an awesome blueprint of how to set up a company and how to replicate it and then shows people, look, this is how we're doing it. You just follow these steps. You can be successful. Is that what franchising kind of comes down to?
In a nutshell, correct. Yep. It's way more than food, though. Let me just interject that. Like,
No, I get it. I was just giving an example.
Show you food. But yes, it is buying kind of like all of the ready-made tools, the business plan and the ready-made tools, the customer avatar, the marketing, the training, the technology. So you don't need an MBA. You don't have to be a prior business owner to be successful. You're partnering yourself with people who are going to teach you and support you. You still have to show up and execute, right? It's kind of the analogy I love using because I was a personal trainer, is it's like the personal trainer and the trainee. So the personal trainer provides the workouts, the gym environment, right? The motivation for you to, like, you know, to get there, and what the knowledge of what to do. But you as the trainee, if you want to change your body, you still got to show up. You got to put in the work. The trainer can't make your body change. You have to make your body change. Same thing with the franchisor. They can provide the greatest environment, the greatest tools, the greatest training, but it's up to the franchisee to show up and use those tools to create an outcome. And that's really my story. Because for the first 8 years in my business, I showed up average. I produced what everybody else expected me to produce, but I knew that I was made for more. I never did anything at the average level. And during that time, I was getting married and having kids, and I wasn't fully, you know, focused on, you know, building an empire, but I still would never did anything average. And it kind of bugged me. But then in my ninth year of business, I said, all right, this is go time. And I just made a clear decision, like a line in the sand. I'm made for more. I'm going to do more. I just set a goal. It was not based in reality. It was 350% more than I had ever made in any previous year or ever made in my life. But I just knew I was worth it. I knew I could do it. And what if I didn't? Who cares? Even if I doubled my production, that would have been a win. Put my head down. Didn't tell anybody. I told one person I had a mentor. Because you need somebody to believe in you on those days when you don't believe in yourself, right? When you're living on the edge every day and you don't know if this is going to work, you need one person to believe in you. And then 1 year later, and here's the other thing. I also didn't tell anybody what I did. And thank God I didn't, because if somebody had said to me, you know, if you do that, you'll be a history maker, I might have said, whoa, I don't, you know, I mean, my personality is, I probably still would have gone for it, but I don't know, right? That's a head trip, right? Like, yeah. It was better for me to find out after I did it. Wow, you just made history by building the largest business that had ever been built in our industry, than to be chasing that, I think. So to yourself, there's so many lessons in that first year that I made history. I had no plan. I had a dream. I had a vision. I had an affirmation that I said to myself every day. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't let anybody else's unbelief cloud my already, my own unbelief. But I just kept talking myself into it every day. And I put my head down and I executed on the things that I knew drew, you know, like would drive my business forward the most, hoping that those were the right things. And they absolutely were. And then the rest is history, literally.
And what did you do? Did you do the 350?
Yeah. Yeah. I built the first seven-figure business ever. And at the end of the year, it was December 17th, the CFO of my franchise, because in the fourth quarter, I stopped counting the money because it was like I was getting superstitious and it gets to be a head game, you know? And I don't really like, I always looked at my business as I want to be the person of influence, but money is the measure, right? Like, yes, now I can say, wow, look at all the business owners I've created. But back then, I didn't have those kind of numbers, right? So it's like, it's a head game. And so you don't judge by the money, but you do judge by the money, right? But really you judge by the number of lives you've touched. That's what motivates me. When I always think about, like, when people are like, I do like goals and dreams workshops with people and they're like, what kind of money do you make? And I say X amount. And they're like, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, I don't know. Give it away. Like, I don't need any more money. I make enough money. So they're like, you can't get the money until you know what you need it for. And I'm like, well, it's not about the money. It's about the influence. The money is just a measure of all those people that means that I'm helping, right? Like, so it's like a head thing. But anyway, yes, I did $4.28 over my $1 million goal.
I love it. All right. So what was the business? What kind of business was it?
The business I'm in, franchise consulting. This one.
So it was consulting business and you're franchise consulting, but was it the same franchise that you were consulting or all different kinds of industries?
Yeah, I work with all different types of industries.
Okay, gotcha. So you have people that are franchises, and then, like, is it the main franchise that brings you in to consult their people, their franchisees, or is it like the franchisees just select you, you know, around their franchisor?
So I am a franchisee of a company called Fran Choice, and we are a business to business franchise. So if you come to me, Mike, you're like, hey, Kim, I want to buy a franchise. You're my candidate. But the person who pays me is the franchisor. I'm paid like a recruiter. So gotcha. We are more B2B. So this is a good point because everybody knows franchising as Chick-fil-A, Jersey Mike's, right? Like all the things we see. But there's a lot of franchise businesses back there that are not known. They don't need to be known. Fran Choice, the name of my company, means everything. When a franchisor hears Kim Daly is a consultant with FranChoice, not just a consultant, but the number one consultant, like, that has a lot of cachet in our industry. But to the person who watches my YouTube channel, they don't know what FranChoice is. So I don't ever talk about FranChoice. Right.
Gotcha.
They just want to know what's in it for me. And what's in it for me is Kim has some experience and can help me find a franchise. So then the franchisors pay us basically to do all the prospecting, Mike. Right. Wouldn't you love to have somebody do all the prospecting for you?
Yeah, right? Of course.
Right. Like I'm in the prospecting business. So I find the people, I get them groomed and ready, financially qualified, make sure that they have the skills that a particular franchisor is looking for. They live in a market that the franchisor deems is viable and open for their business. And I put the two of them together like a matchmaker. And then also then work on the candidate's mindset, because so many people, they think about changing their life. I want to own a business, and they get started, but then they succumb to all the what ifs, the unbelief, the negative naysayers in their life, all just the noise. So when you have someone like Kim Daly in your back pocket, I tell everybody, I'm never going to talk you into anything, but I am going to talk you through it. Because the vast majority of things that people start to believe are true are absolutely not true. When they worry about, oh, what if there's a recession? Or, hey, there's too much competition for that in my market. How do you know that? Why are you worried about overcoming a recession on your own? You're not buying a business on your own. You're not on an island. You're partnered with people who maybe they went through 2011. Why don't you ask them before you assume? So my job is to help push people, if you will, to stay open, stay coachable. Just keep yourself in that creative, let's have fun and see what happens space. Nobody sets out to go, oh, yes, I'm buying a franchise. I don't want that person. I want the person who's like, I think I'm interested. I'm open and I'm curious to learn. That's perfect. Because now we can coach your open and adaptable and flexible mindset. You were going to have you ask enough questions. And here's the thing. If you're satisfied with enough of the answers, you'll end up a franchise owner. And if you're not, you'll go away. But you know what? Because I've been doing this for 22 years, Mike, it takes me about 2 weeks to help people funnel themselves out. It takes me about 2 months to help people get to that yes. So it's a very efficient process either way.
Gotcha. Okay. So I understand. And I just want to make sure the audience understood too. So, and then what percentage of the franchise owners are actually active versus passive owners? Or do they have to all be active under what you guys do?
No, that's a great question. No, I help a lot of people that I would say a business is never passive, at least in the beginning. You may develop a leadership team in there to where now you as the owner can be passive because you have the right leader in place. But even the most hands-free franchise business like a laundromat or a car wash has a couple of attendants. And so even by nature of having one or two employees, the owner has to be, he's in it probably at least 5 hours a week. But that's what I discuss with people when they come to me, Mike. It's like, what goal are you trying to solve for in your life, right? Are you trying to keep your job and add in revenue so you can pay for college or create a better retirement plan for yourself? Are you trying to, you know, keep one foot in corporate America while you bridge, but eventually be able to, you know, leave corporate America and step fully into your business? Or are you ready to just cut the cord? Oftentimes I work with people who are already investors. Maybe they own apartments or short-term rentals and, you know, and now they're looking for the diversity in their portfolio of a business, but they don't have the time and energy to go be an entrepreneur. So you buy the proven ready-made plan, you put the team in place and you execute and you go right to the scale. So in a franchise, just like in any other business, the wealth is created through the scale. It's not usually going to be about one, right? Not one team, not one truck, and not one location. So it's how do I leverage my time to create, to multiply that? And the franchise business is set up for scale. I would argue that if your goal is to start with one, franchising may not even be for you. You might as well go be a mom and pop, right? The real difference is as a franchisee, you come in as the CEO who works on rather than in from day one. So you can hire to the experience of the business and that frees your time to be the CEO, strategizing, growing, focused on the operation, not actually the manual doing every day. And that focus allows you then to think about scale a lot faster.
Gotcha. That makes sense. All right. I'm clear on it now. I hope the audience is clear too. Usually they get it before I do. So, So now you're going out and not having a franchise and you're coaching, creating a coaching business around this to help franchise consultants, right? Do what you did.
To help franchisees do what I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Exactly. Franchisees. Okay.
What happened, I've created this community of business owners, right? Nearly 1,000 people, but even people through my YouTube channel who I never placed into their franchise. And they'll reach out to me and say, I'm struggling in my business. I'm just not happy. Can you help me? And for years, I've had to say no, even though I knew that I could, right? It was just my focus was on creating business owners, because this was my plan. And little by little, it just ate at me enough. And I became more masterful in what I was doing and replicating my history making year, you know, creating a science out of it, if you will, to where I finally felt confident that I could teach others to do what I do so they could also go from average performing to history making and whatever that means for them. Because again, our definitions of history making or success are all different. For some people, it's just making enough money, but having a lot of free time. For other people, it's building a financial empire, right? For some people, it's setting a business up that their children can operate with them or they can pass to their kids. So everybody's definition of what the business is for and how they're going to define success is different. And so I think the way that you get there has to speak to what is your end goal.
Yeah. So that's where you start, right? And then you can reverse engineer back from what their dream is, or their vision is. So yeah, I love that. Okay. And then, so final thing, as we wrap up here, I need to know, so you're leaving a franchise type business, right? And you're being an entrepreneur. Now you're in where I start up, and I have to figure this shit out on my own. Like I gotta here's what I want to do. I have no idea how, like, I'm going to commit to doing this. What are we going to do? And then every day we just try to put something in place, see if it works. It works, we make a process out of it. If it doesn't work, we scrap it and move to the next thing. What's that transition been like for you?
Yeah, it's hard. It's freaking hard. And I'm not totally abandoning consulting. I mean, I'll always be a franchise consultant. But my heart really is, and I believe my future is in this blue ocean of business coaching within the franchise industry. So yeah, it's hard. I'll make no bones about it. It is hard. And I could go buy another franchise that offers coaching. But it's not the actual content that I need to help me get the coaching. I have the content. I know what I want to say to everybody. I need like the team around me, like a marketing person and a, you know, social media, like it's different skills than I would need for franchise consulting. So in franchise consulting, I can be a one-man band basically with one person running my social media, you know, but this business has a lot more moving pieces to it. At least in the setup phase, it does. And so it's finding that those people who can not just talk a good game, but who actually can deliver. And that's where I'm finding it a little bit hard, right? There's a lot of people who make a lot of promises and then you pay them a little money and you start seeing what happens and it's a little bit disappointing. So, but we'll work it out. It's all good. It's all part of the
game. Yeah. And
I always say to myself, Kim, if this were easy, everybody would do it.
Yeah.
No reason for a franchise.
Yeah. Or, you know, some people say, this isn't working. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this, but you say, like I do, dude, if this was easy, everybody would be doing it, man. This is why we're going to make money from doing this. You know,
so that it's hard. It means that this is the reason you should do it. Like it's just like when people are afraid, I'm like, whatever you're afraid of, you that means there's even more reason, compelling reason for you to do it. You're going to let that be what held you back and then look back 15 years, 20 years from now and be like, if only I had done that. No, push through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just because you don't know something. That's the key is like insecurity or if things aren't working the way you want them to or fast as you want them to. It's just because you do not know something.
Correct.
And once we realize that, we're like, oh, that information's out there somewhere, whether it might be come from trial and error by experience from I'm doing it or a coach or consultant or someone mentor or whatever, or books or who knows. And I'm interested to see how you're going to integrate AI. I don't know. Have you been playing with AI at all?
No, not yet.
Okay. So I got some things that we're working on that integrating and whatever works for us, I'll share with you.
That's awesome. Fair? Thank you.
All right, cool. I want you to know that. So I was trying to stay ahead of the curve with AI and we actually have ways that AI can actually talk to people now, not just message them, but actually get on a call with them. And then it can learn my personality, my company's personality and then, you know, answer questions and do a lot of the things. It takes us out of that part so we can stay in, you know, in our genius. So pretty cool stuff coming out.
Jeez.
Well, it can be if you choose to, you can choose that, right? It's a perspective. I just had another gentleman on the show and we were talking about that. It's like, what's your perspective of things? Like when I study quantum physics, quantum resonance, and we look at the things on that little small area, like really small scale, particles actually change what they're doing and way they appear, but whether you're looking at it or not, or how you're looking at it.
I know this.
So yes. If that's the case on that small scale, principles in business carry over from different size businesses and different industries. Well, same thing with size of particles. So the way I look at it is how you look at it.
True.
So AI, same thing. You know, I want to see what can be done with this, where we can take it. And then hopefully any of the bad stuff we'll figure out. But I don't want to focus on that because it'll grow. So that's my view.
I agree with you. I agree 100%.
All right, Kim, where can people find you if they're in the franchise business looking for a coach, consultant? Where's the best place for them to find you?
You got to go to my website, thedailycoach.com, DALY. Take a little quiz, learn about yourself as a franchisee. Lots of resources. You can also find me at kimdaily.tv, which is my YouTube channel where I have over 800 videos and growing every week.
Let's go. Go check out Kim Daily. It's your boy C-Rock. By the way, thanks, Kim, for being here. I appreciate you. And the listener, listen, I want to thank you again for being here and putting up with all my bull crap and, you know, the stuff that I say sometimes is like out of whack. I appreciate you sticking with me because my guests are awesome. And they keep coming back and bringing great stories and journeys. And it's to inspire you to remind you that you're unstoppable to live in the life of your dreams. And until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of Show. Be That One.
Music licensing reimagined.